So you already have four children under 10 years old. You've
Yeah,
not had problems with
our oldest is
infertility.
pregnant.
So why in the heck would you choose to put yourself through the time, the expense, and the physical experience of embryo adoption? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. This is the Embryo Adoption Podcast brought to you by the National Embryo Donation Center. I'm Mark Mellinger, the Marketing and Development Director at the NEDC. You can find out more about us by going to embryodonation.org. Again, that's embryodonation.org. And answering that question I asked just a moment ago today will be my guests, NEDC couple Alex and Candace Pombar. And I loved how we started the broadcast. I asked that question, and I was describing your situation, Candace, and you were already responding during the intro. That means that
Okay.
you guys are ready to go.
This is our first podcast where, babies at
No,
there's not gonna be a filter.
That's what we want. I mean,
Something I did not
we don't want wallflowers on this,
have.
and we don't have them today. I really do. I love your story, and let's start here. Tell me about how you met, because how and where you met, because I think that really helps set the stage of the story of your marriage.
Yeah, I was going to Virginia Tech, and then she was down at Stephen F. Austin in East Texas. We met at College Station, Texas A&M, at a basically a poli-sci conference.
The next point is a point of contention because he says I added him on Facebook. Facebook's all of like 2 years old. That's how old we are. It's all of maybe 2 years old at this point in time. He says I added him on Facebook,
That's what happened.
but in reality, he added me on
Yeah.
Facebook.
Wow.
And
Insane.
then a few just a few weeks later, the Virginia Tech shooting happened, and he was at school during the Virginia Tech shooting. And so I sent him a message, remembering he went to school there. I sent him a message, just making sure he's okay.
That was a Facebook ad.
Yeah, that was
Just to make
Facebook
sure
message.
she added
No,
me.
after you added me. And the conversations just started going about politics and religion and life and all of these things. And then, we just really had a good friendship via Facebook Messenger. And then a few months after that, kind of corresponding back and forth, we just lost track of each other. Life went a different direction. After graduation, I ended up moving down to Austin. And he commissioned in the army, started his army training, all of this. And one day on Facebook again, he puts up, oh, I'll be stationed at Fort Hood after his training. So several months worth of training, almost probably a year's worth of training, and then he'd be at Fort Hood. And so Fort Hood is pretty close to Austin, maybe an hour away. And I was like, oh, when you get here, you should come visit, meaning like a year from now when your training's over and you actually live there. And he was like, I'll be down next week. And then so and then one thing just
I
led to
wasn't
another.
eager at all.
Well, now, see, okay, so stop there. I do want to know this because it is always interesting to hear how marriages and romance takes shape. So did you two think of each other as potential? Was there romantic interest at first, or were you really just friends and then it evolved into romantic interest? Or was one
Not
of you
for
was
me.
so okay, so you felt
I was
nothing from
friend zone, totally. Like I
him?
was like, nope, friend.
Yeah,
Alex?
and for me it was I mean, obviously the first I remember the first thing that, well, on top of, she was very attractive. But when she was at when we were at Texas A&M, and then once became she friended me on Facebook, her Facebook profile was her with a shotgun, and I was like, done. And so, but then obviously, like as we got to know each other, I wanted somebody that held the same belief system as I did, or at least close. And so once we got to talking, I was like, holy moly, like this is awesome. How much we agree.
Yeah.
Even though I was from Connecticut, I went to, I grew up in a very conservative family, which is like finding a needle in a haystack up there. So and so but finding somebody down, you know, from a different area, but held the same beliefs was pretty important. So once we got to talking and that relationship kind of built up and I knew where she stood, you know, once we moved into, you know, dating and, you know, and then looking at, you know, when I was looking at proposing, it's like, I already knew we only dated for 4 months.
Well,
yeah. 'Cause I already knew like, okay, this is, you know, I already know that this is a woman that I'd like to marry. And then we were just kind of both at the point of like, why, you know, why do this? You know, we were both doing long distance dating. 'Cause I was at, Fort Benning. Mm-hmm. She was in Texas.
Georgia. Still.
Mm-hmm. And we're just like, why keep doing this?
So much of our relationship, when he came to visit me in October, we visited and that kind of started the talking process again of lots of on the phone, you know, he's away at training. And then I guess it was about January of the following year, we said, okay, let's, you know, if we're going to date, especially long distance, like we're dating to see if this gets to marriage. You know, I'm not just having fun. You know, that's a lot of expensive trips back and forth, you know, for something that's not going to work out. So we were very intentional, sort of had forced to be, you know, under the circumstances. And then on top of that, you know, we had to talk on the phone about just about everything. And so, yeah, I mean, when we got married, there wasn't anything we hadn't really covered. And it's been a good basis for the foundation of our marriage, having those good communication skills and having to talk about everything, because, you know, we spent a good part of our marriage apart from each other and having to talk on the phone. So it's been, I think it's been a blessing to not, you know, to get to know each other for who we were versus, you know, maybe all the attraction and, you know, the excitement of new romance. So.
Yeah. Well, it's
lended itself to a very quick marriage. We were like, I'm tired of paying a plane ticket to come see you. Like, let's just do the thing and get it over with.
Well, there's something that a lot of young people can probably learn from. And we should mention that Alex is still in the military. He's an officer serving at least 20 years, and we appreciate your service. So thank you very much for that, Alex. There's still a lot of distance in your lives. So as you talked about life while you were in the beginning, just planning, getting married and everything and looking at your life together, was adoption something for which you'd always had a passion?
Yes. For me, I felt at a young age that, you know, I just always wanted to help somebody in need, a child in need. You know, wasn't sure what that was going to look like because I tend to be more, she tends to be the planner. I tend to be, you know, more just
optimistic and altruistic.
Yeah. So I didn't really do a whole lot of research into it. I just knew it was something I wanted to do.
We were 23 when we got married, you know, I mean, so a lot of life to be lived at 23.
Yeah.
And I think for me, you know, I'd read books, you know, about adoption and things as a teenager and always tugged at my heart. I wouldn't necessarily say it was a passion more than it was just, hey, this is interesting. This is, you know, something that is good. And that God calls us to, you know, to serve in some sort of way, whether that's actually doing it yourself or supporting other people who do. You know, every Christian is called to the adoption process in some form or fashion. So
yeah,
whether you call it a passion or not, I don't know.
Well, yeah. And adoption is it's the gospel in miniature. We've right. said that many mm-hmm. times. I mean, we're adopted mm-hmm. in the God's family. So yes, it's really a deep echo of the gospel.
Right.
Now I mentioned that you did not, unlike a lot of our NEDC couples, and I'll just spill the beans here real briefly before we continue. Candace is talking to me as a pregnant woman, pregnant with her NEDC baby, NEDC daughter, if I remember right.
Yes.
Am I right about that?
25 weeks. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
So you're well along and we're really happy for you.
Yes.
But, you know, unlike a lot of our families, you didn't have struggles with infertility. You have four other kids. I believe it's like 9 to 2 years old right now.
9, 7, 5, and 2. He'll be 3 right before this one's born. So, yeah.
Okay. So, before we talk about, you know, why you wanted to do this, I mean, how'd you learn about embryo adoption and the NEDC in the first place? And like, what did you think when you first heard about the concept of becoming pregnant with an embryo that had been created by someone else?
Well, I had actually heard about Snowflakes, the Snowflakes program. We're in Colorado Springs, so Focus on the Family is right down the road from us. And so I had heard about the Snowflakes program several years ago. And so just in the back of my mind, didn't know too much about it, but kind of knew the general concept. And then when we had our four kids and we're like, okay, you know, I mean, if adoption's in our future, we should probably really start thinking about it because we have no problem having our own children, apparently. So, you know, and starting to plan in that sort of way. And we're exploring all the different, you know, the international adoption, domestic infant adoption, foster to adopt. And obviously we're in a unique situation with Alex. You know, we move a lot. He deploys pretty frequently. And so some of just our family dynamic and caused doors to close, and other things caused doors to close for whatever reason. And during this whole time of me really kind of digging in deep, it was the strangest thing. I kept hearing about embryo adoption, and I heard about NEDC. There was a podcast where somebody had, I was listening to a bunch of adoption podcasts, and one of your patients were on it, and it just kept coming up. But initially I dismissed it because it seemed like it was really for infertile couples. Like, I just thought, okay, I'm not infertile. Why? You know, I mean, kind of move on, you know? And as the door started to close, but yet I kept hearing all of these podcasts and books, and it was almost like God smacking me upside the head saying, hey, you need to pay attention. And so when I really started to dig in, I found out about both the Snowflakes program and NEDC. And you guys are kind of the two programs at the forefront in the United States right now. And I found out about all the embryos that are frozen in storage, and they need a place, you know, to go, not just a home, but a womb. And, you know, I've been blessed. So, you know, God has just been so generous with me, and I haven't struggled with infertility, and I've been blessed to have, you know, relatively easy pregnancies. I mean, I don't think any pregnancy is considered easy once you get to, you know, a certain stage of swollen ankles and, you know, just all the aches and pains that go with it, but overall healthy pregnancies. I've enjoyed pregnancy. My body seems to know what to do with it, you know? And I thought to myself, why not me? I seem to carry well. We have a beautiful family. You know, we have financial stability. We've got great insurance through the military. Why not me? It's not just a home. I can provide a home. We know that, but I can also provide a body for this little person to form. And you know, and make it to our side. And so it was more of a question of once I became educated on the need, it was more of the question of, okay, well, not why, but why not? Why not me?
Well, Alex, so, what did you think?
Yeah, so, I mean, she had done a lot of the research, and I forget where I was, but it was during a very busy year. So I was gone a lot. And so I remember just coming back from something.
JRTC.
Yeah, probably JRTC. and came back, and she was like, you know what? I'm really feeling like this embryo adoption is just the best option. Like, all these other things, it just seems like God's pointing us in this particular direction. And me just being the, you know, the go-getter, I was like, absolutely, let's do it. You know, so, you know, I didn't have to think too much about it. And especially once she started showing me some of the materials, you know, it was very impactful. You know,
I watched all of your videos online before even contacting you. So that was very helpful as to framing whether or not this was something we, you know, we could really tackle.
Right. And you know, once you start reading about it, it's like this is a you know, or you know, having all these, you know, frozen children, it's like, this is a massive problem. And, you know, if I can be part of the solution, you know, even if it seems insurmountable of a problem, I mean, I can at least be part of the, you know, at least a solution to just giving these babies some life. And, you know, and thankfully, you know, I have a wife who's, you know, very sacrificial and caring of other people and was willing to put her body through another pregnancy, you know, which is awesome in of itself, but it is hard. So, you know, it was pretty cool that's something she wanted to pursue. So.
The whole thing's cool. Yeah. And I love how you put it. You felt God-smacked in this.
Yes,
whole thing.
I did. I very much did. I couldn't, it's like I couldn't escape it. And then there was actually a time where he was in the Ukraine when we started this process. Alex is in the Ukraine at the very beginning when we started this process. And before I even made the $400, you know, the $400 deposit, I felt like everything made sense in my head, but in my heart, I felt hesitation. But that's me. I'm kind of he's the like, yeah, sounds good. Let's do it. You know, he's the good balance to my caution. And so I just felt, you know, a lot of hesitation, especially, you know, it was in December and, you know, the November election had just happened and it just seemed like the world was in chaos one way or the other. You know, it just seemed very tumultuous. And I, as a mother, I'm like, you know, I'm thinking ahead and I'm going, you know, how do we move forward? How do we, you know, the world is not the place I grew up in, it seems. And, you know, just trying to grapple with the hesitation I felt with what was going on in the world, COVID, you know, everything. And then the head knowledge that, you know, God just has led me here. And so I was actually listening to a totally different podcast and they were talking about, you know, as a Christian, what can you do to make a difference? You know, how do you move forward when times just seem so unpredictable and kind of scary? And of course, you know, they went through the typical things like pray, you know, read your Bible, strengthen your faith, you know, those kind of things. And then one point was have all the babies, have all the babies and point them to Christ. And I was literally praying. I was in the shower and I'm, you know, I do my best thinking in the shower and I'm praying and I'm like, God, I am a stubborn mule. I know this is what you want me to do, but like, I need a Gideon moment here. You know, I need you to like push me over the edge and be like, go for it. Because you know me, I'm just going to dig my heels in and find every reason to, you know, to why maybe I shouldn't do things, even though it doesn't make sense. And as I'm kind of verbalizing this, then that said on the podcast, and I was like, all right, I don't know how you get more clear. Like have all the babies and point them to Christ. And I think that same day I made the deposit.
I don't know what podcast that is, but we're thankful.
It was Allie Beth Stuckey and she was interviewing Glenn Beck.
Okay. Well, you know, that makes a lot of sense.
Thank you, Allie.
Well, and it's a great reminder that no matter what the times around us look like, the one thing that never changes is this drama of redemption,
right?
It is going on. It has continuously been going on since God created the earth and created man and woman. And that story of redemption and restoration, that ultimate story, can't be undone. And there's always going to be a role to play. And I like how you said that, you know, God got a hold of your heart there. And yeah, have all the babies is certainly
point them to Christ.
I love it. That's a big, big part of the solution. So you went through the NEDC process and I want you to be really, really honest here. You don't have to worry about stepping on my toes. but you know, if somebody is listening to this, and thinking about going through the process with the NEDC, describe what it was like and maybe what you wish you would have known or paid more attention to going into the process.
Ooh. You know, I felt very educated going into the process. Alex will tell you, I researched things to death, to the point of, you know, being almost frozen by how much, you know, type stuff. And I watched all of the video, you know, Snowflakes has videos that are available on YouTube. You guys have videos that are available on YouTube. I felt very educated going in. I don't think I had too many unanswered questions going into, of course, you know, I also didn't have to deal with the infertility diagnosis and, you know, kind of the uncertainty that comes with, hey, what's going on with my body, or, you know, trying to figure out if that process would work with your diagnosis. So that, you know, that was helpful. But as far as any one particular thing, I can't really, I thought you guys were great. We did the Snowflake, we did the nightlife.
The family evaluation. Yeah, the SFE,
right. Home study. Mm-hmm. We did do the family evaluation, and Beth Button over there, she was kind of my caseworker, or my head caseworker, and she was great.
She very is great.
Very easy to access. We've collectively spent hours on the phone just talking through all sorts of things, what to expect. So, I mean, she was great. You were great. Linda, you know, once I got plugged into the medical side, like, Linda was great. I really don't have any criticism.
I mean, I do Alex. Like, it was a little bit, it, what helped give me comfort about the process was, you know, how strict it, you know, or I guess comparatively to other, you know, other adoptions that you can pursue, you know, other people treat it like property. You all treat it as the human that it is. And then also going through a lot of those steps to, like, you're adopting a child, so we're making sure that you're the right fit for this. Right. And I really did appreciate that, you know, it was extra work, but I thought it was great because you're trying to make sure that we're good parents.
Well, it's about the children. I would say that was a big, that was a big appeal. Obviously you can go and get donor conceived, you know, embryos at a fertility clinic, you know, and there's not, it's a lot more straightforward and you don't have the home study or family evaluation process, but we really liked how both NEDC and Nightlife through the Snowflakes program, it's about matching the parent to the child, not the other way around. It's about the needs of the child versus, you know, the hopes and dreams of the parent. And yes, that was really important to us.
Yes. And you're absolutely right. And that's one thing that brought us here to this organization is that the heart of the program, the reason for the existence of the NEDC is protecting the sanctity and dignity of the human embryos, the children. We love that we get to help the donor families, we get to help resolve the moral dilemma, the emotional dilemma that so many of them feel. That's great. We love that we get to help embryo adoption families build their families. And a lot of those families, unlike yourselves, couldn't have children any other way. And there's a wonderful way that God provides it. It's beautiful, but, you know, it doesn't start with the adults. It starts with the children. And it's a great way to sort of dovetail into the last thing I wanted to ask you about. So, you know, you went through the transfer, God blessed it. Obviously now you're pretty far along. So what do your kids think of all this? What are those conversations like?
Oh, they're so excited. I think it's been a lot of fun having, you know, some older children, the 9, 7, and 5-year-olds, totally understand what's going on. They also remember their little brother, you know, when I was pregnant with their little brother a little bit, but they're very much aware that mommy has a baby in her belly, you know, and that she's the same as them because they all came from mommy's belly, but she's different because she's got different material. That's how we've sort of, you know, explained it. And they're very, you know, they're my biggest cheerleaders, honestly. They are excited. The two oldest girl, the girls, the oldest, they planned a gender reveal party and called up all of our family members and, you know, we're able to make guesses as boy, girl, you know, all this. And so, they just, I mean, for where they're at in life, I think they have a great concept of what's going on, and they're very excited.
Yep. Well, we love hearing that, and we're so looking forward to seeing a picture of her when she arrives here in just a few months. Continued prayers to both of you, and we're so glad that you took the time to join me for the podcast and go through your story. And if you follow the NEDC on any of our social media or anything, no doubt you're going to see pictures of this baby very soon. A lot of people like those gender reveal pictures.
Because I'll be so excited and so proud. Like, you probably get sick of it.
I love your enthusiasm, both of you. Thank you so much for taking the time.
It's our pleasure. Thank you, NEC, for the role you guys have played in this little miracle.
Yeah, it's an honor. And we're not just saying that. It really is. If you're listening to this podcast and want to know more about embryo adoption, you can go to our website. It's embryodonation.org. embryodonation.org for the National Embryo Donation Center, and look at that adoption FAQs page in particular if you're interested in embryo adoption. You can go to the personal stories section and you'll see dozens of stories of NEDC families, and I guarantee you there will be at least a couple that resonate with you. I'm Mark Mellinger, and this has been the Embryo Adoption Podcast.